Hey, studying Sefer Musar Avicha. We are at our eighth session, I believe. Mm-hmm. It is 23 days in the Omer, April 30th. Okay, last week we began Perek Beis, the second Perek, which is really page Lamed Dalet. In the second chapter, again, the heading was the order of the Kochos HaNefesh, of the faculties of the soul, or we could say ordering the faculties of the soul in the service of Hashem. And the first section, Aleph, is guiding the seichel and the will inside and outside, specifically and generally. So he started off by quoting for us, just to review from last week, the Chovos HaLevavos in a dialogue that he presents between the seichel and the nefesh. It's like the seichel and the self. So the seichel tells the nefesh, if you really understand that you owe so much to Hashem and you're ready to respond, then there's one very important step, and that is that you have to be ready to swallow the bitter pill. I'm strayed from Hashem, I haven't done His will. I have to be ready to swallow the bitter medical remedy for that ailment. That's what the Chovos HaLevavos says, and Reb Kook just elaborates. And to sum up what we saw last week, what he says is it's not so much that there is a bitter pill, it's that until I'm ready to swallow a bitter pill, I can't trust myself in my diagnosis. Because if I'm making the diagnosis and in my mind I only want to do things that are not uncomfortable or difficult, then I can't trust myself that the diagnosis that I make is an accurate one. If you have a doctor who's terribly afraid of blood, so he has to decide, do we do surgery or do we do this through medicine? But the doctor doesn't want to see blood, so I can't trust his diagnosis because he only wants to go one way, not the other way. So it says, Reb Kook, the Chovos HaLevavos doesn't mean that tshuva is necessarily a bitter pill. But until I'm ready I'm emotionally ready to say, whatever it takes, I will do, then I can't trust myself when my seichel starts looking into, well, what is it that I should do? Because maybe I only want the easy way out. That is a paraphrase of what he says in the first 10 or so lines on page Lamed Dalet, the beginning of Perek Beis. I told the story last week to illustrate the point when Rechiel Yaakov Weinberg, the Sreed Aish, told the story where he had said something untrue to Rav Naftali Amsterdam. The Altos from Slobodka said, go, you have to tell him at once. And then he called him back. He just wanted to make sure he was ready to do it. It's not that we have to go through the difficult, bitter process, but we have to be ready to do so, otherwise we can't trust our tshuva. So let's start now, 2, 4, 6, what do we appreciate? It's about 10, 11 lines down, four lines from the bottom. That would be a smarter way to do it. Four lines from the bottom on page Lamed Dalet, first page of the second parak. So at the end, actually, start five lines to the bottom. Amnam klalahu. This goes a little bit in the opposite direction. He said, so first of all, it doesn't necessarily have to be a bitter process. However, what he's going to say, what is difficult is as follows. Amnam, however, klalahu, it is a rule. Sheshinui hergel hu davar kavei. Changing hergel is the word ragil, which the word regular comes from. It means what we're accustomed to. Hergel means a training, a habit. Changing a habit, or what we're accustomed to, is davar kaved, is a heavy, difficult thing. Ve'enu noach l'adam, it's not easy for a person. Vizehu gam b'masim chumriyim, and this is also in material, physical actions. Shepu'ulasim kveda, where the action is heavy. To move physically requires exertion. Vitzarach Adam La'aniya Evarav L'zeh, he has to move his limbs for this. And we call Makom, and nevertheless, Im Hirgal Adam Atzmo Be'ezet Tenua Tadira, if a person has trained himself constantly in a certain action, course of action, Yikashalam Od L'mona Mimenu, it's going to be hard for him to hold himself back from that sort of action. What he's about to say is as follows. If it's true that certain activities that I'm used to, it's hard to change, but there at least to do the activity requires effort. So in some ways it should be easier to change because you can always use the inertia factor. But in a way of thinking, in a way of feeling, which requires no effort, he's going to say it's even more difficult to change, because the way I think, he uses the term, it's almost like electricity. It just moves. It doesn't even require exertion. In other words, if I usually pursue certain activities, and I'm used to doing that, then my seichel tells me it's not the right thing to do. It's hard, but on the other hand, inertia helps. I don't want to do those activities. If I just remain inactive, I won't do it. But a way of thinking and a way of feeling, it's much harder, because my mind always thinks, my mind always feels. So to change a way of thinking, since it's a much lighter, he's using terms heavy and light, it's a much lighter sort of process, it's harder to change. Because it almost happens automatically. The activities that I do that I should change, the lifestyle practices that I should change, are a little bit easier, because the bottom line is it takes some effort to do it. So I can first say, all right, we're not doing anything today, we're not doing that. But the way I think and the way I feel doesn't take any effort, it's almost automatic. Those are my words, not his, but if you look at the bottom line, that long abbreviation there is Vial Achas Kama Vakama, second word on the bottom line, page Lamed Dalet. Vial Achas Kama Vakama means literally, and for one, many and many, means how much more so. What's one in this will be many in this. So, how much more so, Tnuos Machshavos HaNefesh, the actions of the thoughts of the soul, the way a person's neshama has been, his nefesh has been trained to think and feel, shehin b'nei reshef. Reshef, we would say today like electric. I mean, they move very light. They're swift and powerful and light. It doesn't take any effort. Kalim ma'od b'tenuasam. They move very easily, lightly. Top of lamed hay. V'hurgalu lachshov tamed kifit tziure halev hagasim. And he's talking about where a person has been in the Yetzirah has been running his activity, so they have been trained to think constantly per the images of the heart. Hagasim, gas means coarse and unrefined. The person is used to thinking in a coarse way. Ba'ofen hasagos kol inyanei hachomer, in the way of achieving all material things. If he's been a non-spiritual person pursuing the physical for a long time, it's hard to change that way of thinking. Easier than it is to say, no, don't go to that sort of get-together, that activity. But it's harder to say, don't think that way, don't feel that way. That's a harder thing. Kol inyanei hachomer v'hadimyon, all matters of material and everything that comes in the imagination. V'ofan hanoam b'hem, the ways that are nice, that are pleasant. Me'inyan hanoos ha'arev hagufani, from the category of the things that are physically sweet. Arev means sweet, hagufani. These are terms you see in all of the older svar when you talk about things. A person who pursues the arev means he's pursuing that which is sweet, which has superficial appeal, immediate gratification. And gufani means physical, guf, body. Or things that are slightly different, but also ved v'avas kavod v'gava, the love of honor and haughtiness, which also is a false pursuit. People should think I'm so great, and it makes me feel v'yeser hadrachem amukolim, and all of the other contorted, distorted ways. The person's been used to thinking in those ways. Physical gratification, honor, arrogance, all these things. If that's the way he's used to thinking, shebechibur machshavos hanefesh im mezeg haguf below sidur muskum mehachachma. This he's going to elaborate on. Chibur means the connection. From the connection of the thoughts of the nefesh, thoughts come from a higher realm, with the mezeg. Mezeg is the mixture of the body. Without sidur muskum me'achochma ha'machaya ba'aleh, means the proper ordering that comes from chachma, which gives life to its possessor. What it means is there is a way to make a proper shidduch between the chachma and the body. He's actually going to elaborate on this, I think, at some length, but our neshamos have enormous kochos. We have immense faculties. That's what all the musar is about, is a person recognizing the greatness and the power of man. It manifests itself and it comes into play by connecting the neshama to the guf. A person of great spirit, so in his physical existence, does great things with charisma, with intelligence, with all the different human faculties. The problem is there's a way to do it properly, and then the neshama is shining through the physical existence the way it should, and then there's a way to do it improperly. And he's going to talk about very often what we're seeing is actually the nefesh that's coming from the person's soul, but it's being used the wrong way. The body has conquered it with its superficial fascinations, and now the neshama is being used for the wrong things. So you're actually seeing the kochos and nefesh of a person, but being used for the wrong things. Like we see people who excel in certain things, and you see they have a great spirit, but they're using it wrong. It's being implemented the wrong way. So that's what he's talking about. If that chibur, the connection of spirit and physical side, have been allowed to run without the proper guidance. No, don't make the shidduch that way, make it this way. And they made a partnership, but they set it up all wrong. So the partner who doesn't know what he's doing is guiding the partner who has all the power. So the guf is guiding the body. So you see power, but it's being channeled into the wrong things. That's what we're investing our resources in. That the partnership is set up wrong. If you follow the guidebook, then, oh, this is the way you're supposed to. Oh, that makes sense. But he hasn't done that for so long. Without a proper sidur setup. So sidur means an organized arrangement that was agreed upon from the higher chachma that gives life. It's going to bring out thorns and thistles, without a doubt. Instead of a botanical garden, you end up with a terrible weed garden. That's what's going to happen. So he continues. He's going to elaborate on that. Yesh shnei chalokim b'limudei ha'avoda hashleiman. First full paragraph on page Lamed Hey. There are two sections in the study of proper and complete avodas Hashem. Hakolelus tikkun kol ha'ma'asim, and that discipline includes fixing all of one's actions, v'hamidos kulam, and all of them. There's no such thing as, you know, I'm a one mida person. You know, like this, yes, but not that. In fact, if you recall, Chazanish writes about that in the Emunah and Bitachon that we studied. He said there's no such thing as a person who excels in one mida. If a person excels in only one mida, it probably means that mida comes more naturally. The only way to excel is if I look at myself and I say, all right, what do I got to fix? And really, all midos, he says, even though you'll see in Sfarim, Sefer will write about Chesed and will write about Rachmanus and will write about MS, but if a person says, I'm only into MS, Chesed is not, I'm only into Chesed, MS is not, you know, that just means that probably that Mida came easier to him and he hasn't been challenged in it. Because a person's willing to take on the challenge, if he's willing to swallow the bitter pill, he'll address his whole being. That's a term he uses here. The study we're engaged in is fixing all of the midos with the proper setup that is nice and glorious, that is wanted by the Creator, blessed be He. So he said there's two sections in that discipline. The first section is really intellectual. Kimat means almost. It's almost entirely intellectual. Kimat, almost. So the first section is dependent on seichel alone. Kimat, almost. The hainu, meaning hasagas hachachma v'yedias hamidos, achieving chachma and the knowledge of the midos, inyanehen utchunosehen ugvulehen, their subject, their characteristics, their boundaries, to what degree am I supposed to be, and how does the mida work, how far does it go, what are its characteristics, v'chol his pashtus kochosehen, and the way that their power spreads out. I'm not sure exactly what he means by that. Probably what he means is the way that is implemented. How is chesed implemented? How does it spread? V'eich l'shtamish b'chol koch v'chol mida. How to use each faculty and each mida. How can I use this element of my character and that element? When should I implement this mida? When this mida? But that's all seichel. That I figure out. I sit in front of the sefer and think about it and study it. And try to understand. Aval milvad hayidia, hu chelak ha'avoda she'acharei hayidia. But aside from the knowledge is the part of the service that comes after the knowledge. I can read a whole book on how to build a sukkah, but the wood is still on the floor. The same is true of midas. I can read the whole thing, but not. Then there's the avoda. Even though he grasps in his mind, at his first look at it, when he first looks at it, he first studies it, he grasps, and I got it. The ways of proper conduct, hanhagat of good conduct, mikol makom hu rachok mimena adayin, but he's still very far away from it. Mipnei shelo hirgil heitiv es ritzono v'hakochos hamusachem begufo. He has not yet trained well his ratzon and the powers that are stored within his body, shiaskimu kulam belev shalem el hatovahu, that they should all, to be maskim really means to agree. But he doesn't mean here agreeing intellectually. Yes, intellectually that makes perfect sense. Maskim also means like to synchronize, to, what do you call it in a magnet when you get all the lines lined up?
Align it.
Yeah, to align everything to what he knows in his seichel. So it's interesting, I recall Rav Yitzchak Huttner, who actually, a lot of his, he knew Rav Kook, and some of his writings are based on a similar style. There's a place in his sefer where he says, he makes a counterpoint. He says, the difference between learning halacha and learning the halachas of Chovos Halvavos, what we call Musar, is that in halacha, I can, as I said before, you can learn all halachas of Sukkah, but you haven't done it at all. In Musar, you can be sitting in front of the sefer, and you've done the whole thing. Because this is not something that requires building a sukkah or weaving to, or who knows what. But Rav Kook is making the opposite point. But the mere fact that I understand it doesn't mean I've done it. I have to understand it and train in it. So there's a training also. And we all recognize this. Ultimately, we are creatures of habit. It's not that one epiphany moment, as they like to say today. I can have that moment, then I have to work at it. It takes time to train oneself to be a certain way. What tends to happen is we recognize something well and we mean to be living by that ideal, but we have not yet habituated ourselves to do so, and then we try a little bit and then we get out of practice and we forget the recognition in the first place, and then we stop trying. So a person, the things that deep down a person knows but has not synchronized his behavior with what he knows. Okay, so this part requires training. Al kain sarach liyashiv daito harbe. Therefore, he has to put his yishuv hadas is a term we use when we say a person's in equilibrium. A person has to be in yishuv hadas very much. Ulahashkit es midosav, and to calm down his midos. Ulahishtadel laharchik atzmo mikol mashem avalbel es midosav, and to seek to distance himself from everything. To be mevalbel means to confuse, confound, to mess up. From everything that disturbs his midos, uporitu son, and makes a breach in them. Umikol ma shemagbir shorish ha'hispalus yoser midai. And from everything, magbir means to make strong, gibor, everything that makes the root of hispalus means becoming excited, moved, emotional, more than appropriate. In other words, just in many midas, we get too emotional, we don't think properly, don't act properly. Somebody says something really was wrong, but I got angry about it, and then I didn't react properly. Says Rav Kook, we have to seek to distance ourselves from anything that takes us out of that equilibrium. Because here's what my seichel knows, my midas aren't there yet. I'm working on trying to be margil, to train. The word margil also means to do exercises. To do exercise, to train my midas to line up with what my seichel knows, but then if I have these moments when I'm totally out of equilibrium, so that's a setback. So he says, in order to follow through on this two-step process, first know it, then practice it, the practice takes a while, and I have to distance myself from anything that'll be a setback in the practice.
Doesn't the disequilibrium help? Like, if you didn't have the disequilibrium, you could argue that you're unaware of the discrepancy, whereas the disequilibrium is like the wake-up call, like adjustment needed.
That's a good point. Yeah, I think we have many sources that indicate that exactly when do we bounce back and do our best in a meet is when we've had trouble with it. I think he's probably taking that as a given that will happen.
Right.
We shouldn't go looking
don't
for...
Worry.
Right. Hey, don't worry, you'll have those moments anyway. Right, I think that's what he means. He means when I have those moments, I say, all right, now I got to fix that. But you're right, it's...
Or that your seichel has advanced even further, so you need to constantly be adjusting. Otherwise, a lack of or total equilibrium, you're not growing either. You know, you'd want that. You could probably argue that the seichel continues to grow. The depth as your depth of understanding
right.
grows, then you have to adjust accordingly.
Right. Oh, don't worry. Well, we'll never quite catch
right.
up. There's always, we're always moving forward, hopefully, with the Seichel and following with the Midos. But that's what he says, and not to allow something that a root Mida that allows us to become too mispoil. Mispoil is a good yeshivish word. Wow, I was mamish mispoil from that. It means to be moved. Poel means to do. Mispoel is something that happened to me. So whenever we say I was mispoil, it means I was moved by something. It was poel on me. It worked on me. So hispa'alus is to be affected by something. I got a lot of hispa'alus from this piece in the Sefer. So anything that makes a person more mispoil than he should be, I got too emotional. What's like you said before in the previous section, has to be with a clear seichel. Shemakakeyas yisod binyan hanefesh kula, because it cuts up the foundation of building a soul. Building a soul is not just that intellectually I can tell you what I'm supposed to do, it's that I'm doing it. And every time I'm out of equilibrium, it causes damage there. Now, you can argue that the recognition of that damage makes me bounce back and do better, but we don't want to do it too much because it's a setback. And in all of these, he should train himself with a strong view. You know, there's the things that we have a latent awareness of. Yes, I know, I really should, but it's in the back of my head. Hashkafa chazaka means it's in front of my face. It's what I'm looking at all the time. And chokhmas emes, and true chokhma. Bechol darki hatikun, in all ways of fixing oneself. Sheyira be'ein sichlo, that he should see with his the seichel, his mind's eye, the eye of his seichel, kifi ma sheyos letchuna, so per what is fitting for his characteristics. Every person's different. How you play this out depends on your own characteristics. Ki lefamim tzarech lahargal atzmo lachazek midosa, because sometimes, I think this is an example, but sometimes he's going to have to train himself to strengthen his midos, sheyuchlu lehiskayim b'taharoson ukdushas, and that they should be able to remain in their purity and their holiness, gam b'isko im b'nei odom v'darkei ha'olam, even while he's involved with people and the ways of the world. In other words, a person who, when I'm reading the Sefer, it's all wonderful, it's great, I can tell you all about it, but then when he gets out there, so he goes in, you know, out in the marketplace and he's dealing with people, then all those midos fall by the wayside. So that's what he's saying, a person needs a hashkafa chazak, a sharp picture of it, so it's with him even when he's going through mundane interactions in life. It's not something that's just reserved for when he's, you know, in the shul, in the Beis Medrash, or when he's in front of the Sefer, but he's actually able to implement that. He remains in equilibrium and in practice of the ideals that he's learned before, so that ultimately they're synchronized.
Is he going to tell us how to get that blinking light in our face? Because I often say this. This is me right here.
Yeah.
I've got it all in my mind, but then when I go out into, you know,
I think
it's like,
everybody.
It's all by the wayside.
I think it's everybody. So we all struggle with that at one degree or another. What he said here is that we should seek to keep the seichel as master. Everything that disturbs my seichel or makes me out of equilibrium, that's mevalbel my midos, and anything that makes too much emotion, he's telling me I got to stay far away from. You know, I want to remain, that it shouldn't be that when I'm learning the seichel's in charge, and then when I go out, the excitement gets in charge, and then becomes bifurcated. It's to try to leave the seichel as master and remain in equilibrium. It's a challenge. I think he will talk more about it. Let's see. V'akol yaseh l'man das Hashem v'uzo, and he should do it all for the das of Hashem and his might. Why does he add that? I think what he's saying is you should do it l'shma. You know, you can go to a library or a store, they're full of self-help books. They'll say the same idea. Stay in equilibrium. Let your mind be master. But that's just for self-promotion. They're not talking about for Hashem. If we're seeking to master, right, there are all kinds of self-help books, but what they're trying to teach you to do is how to have that winning personality that make you CEO. Mm-hmm. That's a totally different pursuit. That's not what... Now, it happens to be there could be some midos that are good for olam haza pursuits that are also helpful in the pursuit of ruchnius, but it's ultimately it's a different goal. If I'm trying to be balanced and friendly and so on, so that I'll be charismatic, so that I will rise to the top, so I'll have a big mansion and a, you know, but that's not this. He says, make sure you're doing it all. I think that's why he throws in that line, and do it all l'man das Hashem b'uz. I'm not doing this for pursuit of my own material thing. I'm doing it l'man das Hashem. That's what it has to be. Behine, and I think what he means is, and then we get siyata d'shmaya. Siyata d'shmaya doesn't necessarily help when we're doing it for our selfish selves. Behine, and behold, koach. This I think is a very important piece. It gets very deep, but behine koach harotzon hamasi mekavel hadrachoso meis hasechel. The power of rotzon hamasi means the active will. Maasim is action. Maasi is a descriptive, an adjective, the will of action. What makes me want? What makes a person want to do things? What makes us go through life? I want to do this. Ein davar omid b'fnei haratzon. So that great force, which is called the will to do things, which is an enormous force. Every great thing in the world, every great social movement came from somebody's will. Every great project. So mekabel hadrachos meis hasechel. It gets its guidance, hadracha, is guidance, a madrich is a counselor or a guide, meis ha-sechel, from the sechel, mikol makom. However, im yiyah ha-adam baal ratzon tov me'ikaro, o shehirgal atzmo ba'atzas chacham lefohato. However, if you have one of these two scenarios, either where a person is good-willed from his source, what we call it, he's inherently a good-willed person, or he's trained himself to be so by following the counsel of the Chachamim. Maybe he's not innately so, but he's learned this is how I should be. Oz yu pe'ulosav tovos ugedolos be'erkan ma'od. Then his actions will be good and great in their value. V'yuchul hatzmiach Yeshua utahilo. That's a paraphrase of a pasuk, as you can see in the footnote, pasuk in the Yeshiva. And they can sprout salvation and praise, meaning good things. His contrary, you'll see in a second what he's after with this. Aval imkodam hakoach hasichli mibaladeze. But if the seichel proceeded without this, what he's talking about now, he touched on before, there's the seichel and then there's the midos. Now he's talking about the seichel and the ratzon. If a person proceeds in avodas Hashem, keeping the emotional ratzon synchronized with the seichel, meaning either he's a good-willed person in general, or he made himself into a good-willed person, so as he proceeds and understands more Torah, his will is also good, then we end up with a good product. A lot of good things can happen, which he called it. It could be Yeshua Utahila. He can bring salvation to himself and good pray. Good things will happen. But if the Seichel leads way in advance, and the Ratzon HaTov is way back, in other words, in what he wills by his that other part of himself, like what I feel like, what I feel like doing, what do I will, that's way behind. The seichel is understanding deep things in Torah and knows it, but the ratzon is not there at all, either because he was not innately so, or because he was and he corrupted himself, or for whatever reason, his ratzon is not in a good place. So again, second line, if the seichel, the power of the seichel proceeded me baladeza without this. Afal pisha hashkafaso tova urtu, even though his perspective, what he looks at in his seichel, what he sees is good and beloved by Hashem. Mikol makom hu rachok miderach pa'ula miyushevis. He's very far away from the path. Again, miyushev means at ease, or I would say in equilibrium. He's very far away from actions that come from equilibrium. He's not going to make good decisions, good actions. Even though in his seichel he knows what's good, but because his rut zone is so far from it, they're not going to work. Ki im ba'amol gadol, unless with great toil, it requires a lot of work. Ukemo ma'asakof, and ma'asakof means the act of a monkey. Ma'asakof is what is the term the Gemara uses when you just do something, but it's devoid of thought, it's devoid of action. So his seichel no, it's here I think, which says devoid of meaningful thought. His ratzon isn't there. Oh, the Torah told me I have to do this, so I'm doing this. But the ratzon is way somewhere else, so it's the product of what you end up with in his actions is not good. Now he says something very interesting, and please don't misunderstand the usage of if we'll refer to Nekeva as being weaker, no one will be offended. Anyway, in the Torah, Zohar and Nekeva are not always. But here's what he says. This is a profound insight. Vizen nirmas bedivrei Chazal. This is hinted at in the words of Chazal in the parsha we read yesterday. The parsha begins Ishaki Sazria v'yolda Zohar, when a woman was Mazria, brought out seed, I guess you'd say, and gave birth to a Zohar. So Chazal say something. Chazal say if whatever this would mean physically, I don't know, but if the woman's seed is there first, so then it's a Zohar. And if the Zohar seed is there first, then it's in a cave. We're leaving aside whether that what that was supposed to mean physically, but Chazal say Ish Mazria Tchila Yeledas Nekeva, Isha Mazras Tchila Yeledas Zohar. That's what I just said. So he says what this is alluding to is in the usage in Chazal. Please understand this is not this is the usage in Chazal, not necessarily reflective of Olam Hazeh sensibilities. In the usage in Chazal, in the Keva is let's see the way he says it. I don't want to get myself in trouble. Ki im hamasim hanikron b'shem told us the product is the action. So when we talk about giving birth to something, in the nimshal, in the analogy, that will be the actions. So it's toldos. The offspring is the actions. Boyim rak mitzad ha-seichel below ha-yesod shel tikkun ha-midos. If they come from seichel that didn't have the tikkun ha-midos, I'm going to be very diplomatic. Women are tikkun ha-midos. There you go. Fix it. Proper midos. Men are just intellect with no midos. There we go. I'm safe. But what he's saying is if it's seichel first, if it's zohar first and the nekeva isn't there, then you end up with, that's like seichel without the tikkun hamidos, which is what he was just describing before, where the person's rutzon isn't there at all and he just understands it intellectually. And then the product, now please don't misunderstand, everybody davens for a nice baby girl, but in the when Chazal talk about nekeva, they mean the product is weaker. That's yeledes nekeva. Him chaloshim kinekeva inim bnei kayama. V'im him boim mitzad tikkun hamidos. But if it's isha mazra'as tchila, what isha mazra'as tchila symbolizes in the deeper meaning is that the tikkun hamidos is there first, and then the zachar, then the intellect. Ayidei chinuch tov v'hergel chazak. Yeah, he's explaining why Nekeva represents that. Nekeva represents better midos. I have to be honest, the way he just said it is because again, in the construct in the Torah, the man is Mekadesh, the woman. Please don't misunderstand, but she's Bershus Ba'ala. Therefore, Nekeva represents, in the deeper usage, something that is committed, that has already committed its midos to something. The zachar is autonomous. The zachar is the seichel without the rotzon with it. So that's why Chazal say if the nekeva is there first and then the zachar, then the product is stronger than if it's the other way around. That if it's the zachar first and only afterward the nekeva, then the product is weaker. All right, so says Rav Kook, that's hinted at in those words, because every agadic statement in the Gemara is very deep, and great people saw deeper things. And Rav Kook saw in that line in our parsha, which you would have thought has nothing to do with what we're learning about, he saw in that the basic idea that if I proceed with my seichel and the rut, the will is not there yet, the product is very weak. Now, a person can be fortunate if he happens to have good rutzim just innately, and now he's learning, so he's using his seichel, the product will be good. But if he doesn't have goodwill, either because he's not innately so, or even if he's not innately so, he should have worked on it. But if he didn't have either of those pieces, then the seichel alone, just the seichel alone, doesn't lead to a good product. Ultimately, I think what he's talking about, when Chazal say, Kol shechachmosa meruba mima'asav, a person whose chachma is greater than his actions, the Torah is not just about that. That's not good. It's supposed to be ma'asav meruba mechachmosa. It's supposed to be more in ma'isa than in chachma. We're even more committed to it than we know it. If I know a lot of it, but I'm not committed to it, so that's a tree that's top-heavy. A lot of knowledge, but the roots are weak, and the wind comes and knocks it over. If a person, I'm committed to Torah, I know this is important, I haven't learned all that much yet, but I'm committed, then you have strong roots. Maybe the top of the tree is not so high yet, it's still climbing, but we first want strong roots. I think that's what he's saying here also. There has to be the rutzon. I have the will to do what's right, and I do that with the seichel. But if the seichel is way ahead, I'm learning all kinds of deep things about the Torah once, but in my rutzon, because of what I'm used to and the way I've lived, I'm not there, then that's a very weak product. It doesn't make for a great person. So next paragraph. V'hine, dvar ha-tikun karav hu b'lev ha-adam b'fiv. This is all related and it's very interesting. The matter of the tikun, meaning of fixing ourselves, the sakein means to fix, it's very close to a person. It's in his heart and in his mouth. K'divri ha-kosu, as the pasuk says, ki karav e'lecha ha-davar ma'od b'fichu b'lvavcha la-soso, which many Rishonim says, talking about tshuva, the matter is very close to you, it's in your mouth and in your heart to do it. V'hu b'seichel ha'adam uv'ritzono. And it is within the seichel of a person and his ratzon. What he really means is that a person's seichel and his ratzon at their core really naturally want to do this. They've just gotten confused. And this is what he's going to explain right now. But he's going to explain it with a much more vivid and complex process, how that happens. Ki be'emes seichel ha'adam uritzono mitaharasa shel ha'nefesh ha'kadosha heima bo'im. Where does a person's seichel and his will come from? Seichel is such a powerful thing. A human being can understand so many different things, so many different disciplines and sciences and concepts, and they're so variegated in how they work. It's all from a person's seichel. And Ratzon is such a powerful thing. Ratzon is will. Think of what you can do with will. A person wants to do something, unbelievable. Those two great and powerful faculties come from the purity of the soul. They come from Taharasa, Shalhanefa, Shakadosha. They're really from a very pure source. So in the back of our minds immediately we have the question, so why sometimes is the Ratzon going in the wrong direction and the Seichel doesn't lead in the right direction? He's going to explain. They are really the lot and the share of the pure soul. So what goes wrong sometimes? When the seichel, the intellect, and the ratzon, the will, have already gone out, they've been sent out to action, they've been implemented. In the neshama, they're just potential. Then the neshama is put into a body, which is put into a world. All right, now you use it. You have seichel, you have ratzon, which really are faculties that come from the high part of your neshama, but now we implement them. What am I going to use my seichel for? What am I going to use my ratzon for? So if they've already gone out into action, salalu es darke pu'ulo seyem unitiyo seyem. They've already like plotted out, and the soul is to go on a path. They've already plotted out their paths and their tendencies, where they like to go or where they tend to go. Through all of the ways of the body, wherever a person, where we exist physically, wherever my physical life takes me, so I've been using the seichel and the ratzon in those situations, in those places. So b'chol orko v'gida b'omek mizgo. So the seichel and the ratzon have already penetrated through his veins and his sinews and everything. They're thoroughly put into his physical existence. He has seichel v'haratzon poel b'tzirif ha'hergel v'ne'osus ha'teva l'zeh. Because how does Seichel Ratzon work? In combination with the habit, what they're used to in Teva, Gamal Hachomer V'Chalokov. So now they now take on, the paraphrase of what he's saying is, if I've used my Seichel for more mundane things, so now the Seichel is used to going there. The best way to think about it, I sort of said this before, the Seichel and the Ratzon per se are very holy and pure things. But Hashem puts them together with a physical body. Now there's a proper way to make that shidduch work. Yes, we are physical, but I'm going to use the physical for holy and pure things to the greatest degree possible. That's the real way to set it up. But if I haven't done that, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create man and say, well, if you're spiritual, it'll work. If not, the shidduch won't go. He doesn't make it that way. What happens if a person takes these holy faculties that he has and implements them into other things? He lives a totally material, even animal life. What happens is those high and holy faculties, Seichel, Ratzon, which are really a piece of the neshama, have now been trained. They basically met up with a bad friend. Say, hey, kid, come over here. And now that's what they do. This is a prince. This kid is a kid of enormous kochos and of great yichus and of great potential. But he's gotten used to hanging out. Hey, I'll show you where you got to go. Come over here. So now that's what he does. That's now what the Seichel and the Ratzon do. That's what they've been trained to do. The next line really clarifies it. Behine ha-Seichel va-Ratzon shehem po'olim be'etzem, af al pi shehem yodam b'ma'al pe'ulas ha-harisus u'sfiris ha-leib. It looks like they have a hand in the rebellion, in the destructive and whimsical, Shrius Halev, it means whimsical, I'm just going, whatever my heart wants me to do. So it looks like the Seichel and the Ratzon have a part in following whimsical and destructive behavior. Avolo me'atzmo, but it's not from themselves. Kiyim me'hischabram el hateva hachomer velo chosh v'darkam. Rather, it's because they connected themselves to the material nature without plotting out their path properly. That's why you see in the more mystical things, it's funny how popular even books and media have picked up of this concept of taking the holy force and turning it to the side of evil, or the science fiction. They're really taking that from a true concept. There is this great and powerful pure force that gets schlepped in to these other. So when it looks like the holy Seichel and Ratzon are doing bad things, it's not really true. It's just that they've been aligned with the wrong people.
With very young children, you can see the difference between kids where it's exposed to television by the time they're 2 and 3, where their mind and imagination is, versus a child who's learning Torah and mitzvahs or nature or whatever. You see the incredible negative influence, both of the physical addiction of watching it, as well as the content.
Right. And he's addressing the highest, but the highest part, exactly. Imagination is
exactly
a very powerful force.
Huge.
Right. Imagination is a very powerful thing in a person.
You know, you see it in
where do you take
creativity.
It?
You know,
right.
If they're given one direction or another, you see what, you know, you could argue just like they are, what's the natural, you know,
right.
The seichel. And the desire,
right.
That once you pollute it, so to speak,
right.
You know, and physically they will go for, you know, we've seen all of these addictive things.
Right. And,
you know,
and you see some people who clearly had great kochos on nefesh, and they've used it for something. They've been very successful in something bad. Maybe
right.
They have a great talent, a great skill, whatever it is, and they've channeled it in the wrong way because it's been... The power per se is not bad. It's been schlepped along in the wrong direction. That's what he's talking about. But you'll see what he says, what we have to do to correct it is an interesting process, which ultimately this is all Kabbalah. He's going to show this all. It's all really from Kabbalah's form. But so if it's been connected to the material, Shativo, 3 lines from the bottom, Lamed Vav, Shativo lo leches below Eitzah Machshav, that its nature is to go without counsel and without thought. The material doesn't think. This is what I like, this is where I go. Mischazek b'kach. It gets stronger this way. U'mishtaleim, and it completes itself. V'haseichel v'haratzon. And again, seichel and ratzon, those are these two great faculties that he's talking about, intellect and will. Sheshleimusam himitzad ma'alosam l'chashev darakam, that their shleimus, their greatness, is exactly the opposite. The greatness of seichel and ratzon is specifically to think, what should I be doing? But they linked up with a friend whose whole approach is not to think. So what happens? Nechleshu, they become weaker, going on to the top of the next page, beheder ha'pa'ula hadrusha l'chukam, in the lack of the, by the lack of the activity that is needed for their chukam, means their laws. But what it, basically what it means is, if you have a being that needs a lot of cardiovascular exercise and you don't let it do that, it gets weak. If you have a being that needs intellectual exercise, you don't let it gets weak. The eventually, he says, from this shidduch, the seichel and the ratzon become very weak. It's not that they remain so powerful and strong. They potentially are so, but it hasn't worked out in years. It's been sitting on the couch watching TV. You have this person who, if only we would tap into what this, I'm using this as a mushel, if only we would tap into what this person could do, if he would have been trained by the right person, you would have seen enormous talent. So the same thing is true within the faculties of a person. There's seichel and ratzon, which are enormous faculties. If he actually uses his seichel and his ratzon, he can do tremendous things. But if he hooks them up with the material side of man and lets the material side guide, the seichel and the ratzon, they play along with it. And in the mushel, it would be this brilliant kid who, if he had come under the right coach, the right mentor, would have been a gadol b'yisrael, but he's hanging out with some kid who's engaged in silliness. So eventually they become weak.
So the seichel, is that inherently good? I'm thinking...
Yeah, he's saying it is.
It
yeah.
is. Okay, so
but he's saying when it looks like it isn't, it's because of what it's linked up to. Mm-hmm. Seichel really, he says, comes from the purity of the neshama. The Chovos Halavos defines seichel really as that which makes the created recognize his creator. We think seichel is the fact that, you know, I'm good in math, I'm good in... That's one of the byproducts. But real seichel is... Seichel of Emes is the ability to serve Hashem. Yeah.
So, Seichel and Ritzon, are they gifts from Hashem that people get different amount, or
I believe
some
so.
Some people have, it's just, or is it how you use it, or is it like some people have like an unbelievable Ritzon, but some people have no Ritzon?
I think every person has a different, everybody has some. For some people it's easier because they have a great gift in it. Clearly some people have enormous seichel, and some people less. But what he's saying is that mostly the problem is how much we cultivate it. Every
so
person...
Is it the avoda? Like, is it, in other words, you're given this gift and then it depends how much work you put into it?
Right, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hashem gives each person what he needs in avodas Hashem. All the Bali Musa tell a famous story on Purim when I think Naftali Amsterdam, one of the Talmidim, Rabbi Yisroel, was a little inebriated, and he said, "Oh, Rabbi, if only I had the heart of the Yisod Shor Shavod, that's one of the classic Musa's form, and this one's mind, and this one's Chachma." And Rabbi Yisroel said to him, "With your mind, with your heart, and your Chachma, Hashem doesn't need me to be this other one, but each person is given certain strengths and weaknesses, but to cultivate. The Seichel and the Ratzon in every person are enormous. Doesn't mean each person is going to write Igros Moshe, but every person has enormous seichel and ratzon. They can do enormous things within Avodas Hashem, but if we let it get hijacked by this other process, then it sits dormant. And that's the tragedy. Alkein nichna'u l'teva hachomer. Therefore, they have, to be nichna means to be, to submit oneself, to humble oneself. They've humbled themselves to the nature of the material. Even though they're much stronger than it. Again, in the mushal, I think it's an apt mushal, you have a kid who you happen to know is a genius and is of high spirit. This person could be the greatest in midos, and he's hanging out with some other kid who's showing him, here, let's go over there and do something naughty. And the Rebbe or the parents is looking on and saying, what a tragedy, because this kid is 1,000 times more than the other kid if he's just going along with it. So that's what happens when the seichel is hijacked by the chomer, by the material. Aval, however, mipnei she'al kol ponim ha'hefzid ba'mikri, But since the loss, the attrition, Hefsid is where they always use in Musa's from when they talk about things that ruin Amida. Hefsid means loss. But since the loss, the attrition, the wearing away, is Mikri. Mikri means incidental. It's always used as opposed to inherent. A Mikra means something that happened. This happened to me. This is not what I am. It's something, they talk about nature versus nurture. It's a nurture thing. It's something that happened to the person. It's not really his teva. So this, and that's so important to clarify. That's why he's emphasizing it. Your seichel is not bad. Your ratzon is not bad. He's like, oh, that he's rotten at the core. He only has a will to do bad. No, his ratzon comes from his neshama. His ratzon has been hijacked by something else, and therefore it looks bad, but it's not really so. L'chein hatikun b'hem noach. Here's some good news. Therefore, the process of fixing it is easy. It doesn't mean it's very easy, but in a certain perspective, it is easy. Kishuhu meshiv elibo nafsho verucho v'nishmaso elav yesov. It's interesting. He uses a pasuk to make this point, which in the context, that's not what the pasuk means. There's a pasuk in Eov that says if Hashem would take it to his heart, he could gather in a person's soul, which means he could take our lives in a moment. That's what it really means. But he's taking it differently. I don't know if there's a medrash that uses it this way, or this is his own usage, just for the purpose of the point he's making. But what he's saying is if a person would take it to heart, he would gather his spirit back. Asaf always means to take something back to a more protected place, as opposed to mikabetz, which means to gather scattered things. Mikabetz means to gather, asaf means to gather. But asaf, when we say the Lord will gather me in, it doesn't mean that I'm scattered and he's gather me. It means to take someone into a better place. So, v'nishmaso elav yesof, I'll paraphrase what he's about to say. A person's kochos haneshama have already been implemented. They've been dispersed into things in the world. That would be okay, except he put them into the wrong things. He's used his seichel and his ratzon in all sorts of areas, and they're all bad. And actually what's happening in all those areas is that the seichel and the ratzon are being destroyed because they're being hijacked by these other forces. Says Rav Kook, and it's really based on Indian Kabbalah, the way to fix this is you first have to say, all right, everybody come back home. All, which is actually a painful process because the nefesh wants to implement its faculties. The person has kochos and nefesh. I want to be doing things with my talents, my seichel, my ratzon. But the problem is I've been doing the wrong things. So the process is you pull everything back home. You declare a moratorium. Stop. A lockdown. You do a lockdown, and the Hashem is not happy about this. It's not a pleasant thing. And you say, guys, I'm not letting you back out there. You've made some bad mistake. It's halftime. Listen, guys, we're down by 10. We need a touchdown. We're not doing well out there. You got to get your act back. I don't want you linking up with this force and that force. We're going to do it right this time. And he describes the Neshama doesn't enjoy this because the Neshama wants to be doing.
So like cold turkey?
Huh?
Like cold
it's,
turkey?
But it's much more detailed than that. It's cooling the implementation of your Neshama off. Everybody come back home, do over. We're starting over. And warning the Koch would say, if you link up with that guy again, I'm going to take away your allowance for a month. I mean, it has to be told no more of this. But then once the neshama is ready, says, okay, I'm going to do it right this time. He says, it's actually very easy because the ratzon and the seichel naturally want to do the right thing. They naturally do the right thing because they actually come from high up. So it's a new perspective. Instead of saying, I'm bad, I have bad tendencies, I always want the wrong thing. You say, my will is the right thing. My seichel intuits and connects to the right thing. I've just been trained wrong because I made some bad friends. So I'm not going to school for a few days. When I go back, I'm only following the right people. That's basically the process he's describing. So the process is, again, it's very deep. I don't think we don't usually think of our emotions and actions in such a vivid mushal, but he's saying this is the way you really have to think about it. This is the process of the tikkun. That wherever the kochos hanefesh have been implemented in the wrong ways, you have to think about calling them back home and starting over. That's what the nishmaso elav ya'aso, his nisham will be gathered back. And I recall a Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch on the pasuk Vayom Hashvi Shovas Vayi Nafash, He has this idea about vayi nafash. What is vayi nafash? And it will rest, but it's from the word nefesh. He says vayi nafash really means to come back to yourself. Mm. Come back to who you are, which I think is really the same process that Kook is elaborating on, is to call everything back home and say, this is not who we want to be linking up with, and then starting over. So he explains it, just like I said, v'inyan ha'asifa elav, this idea of gathering back to himself. I'm on the fourth line of Lamed Zayin. Hu mipnei shehanefesh shekvar solala dark al kol haguf, is because the nefesh that's already charted out its path all over the body. When he says all over the body, I think he means in all of the body's interests, the wrong things, material pursuits. He mefuzeres be'emes, it's scattered. Al kol chelkei haguf, and all the parts of the body, gam b'shlitasa, and it's under its domination. All of my material side's interests, which could be different limbs of the body, or just different material things, they're dominating the neshama. And since all parts of the body have corrupted their ways, gam darka me'uvasa, so also it, meaning the neshama, its ways have also been distorted. Kishehi shofa'as aleihem, when it, to be shofa'a means like to pour down its bounty. The body, the material side of man is a weak thing. The neshama side of man is a strong thing. The problem is, there's a shidduch, so the strong force is channeling into the weaker one, but somehow the weaker one convinced the strong one where to go. So this is all messed up. This is no good. So it's under the domination of a far inferior being. So what he's saying is that the Hashem has to say, hold it, beam me up, Scotty, or whatever you say. Like, we're going back home. Avayesh efsharos, but there's a possibility. Sheyachnes ha'odem es ha'kavim. A kav is a line, like a ray of the sun. Hamispashtim, that are spreading out, el toch nekudosim, back to their point. Take the line and pull it back to its point. Stop shining, bring the light back to the sun. V'zeu be'emes ol gadol v'davar mar. Remember he said it doesn't have to be bitter? He said, but sometimes it is. He said, this is not easy to do. If I'm used to implementing my kochos and Hashem in a certain way, it's hard to say stop. I'm sure people have been through a tshuva process. I've done this. I'm not manifesting my kochos that way. I'm pulling them all back, and we're going to send them out anew in a different way. But he says that's different. It's a great burden, and it's bitter. Ki hachofesh v'haispashtus ro'i v'no'os l'nefesh. Why? Because freedom and spreading out are appropriate and pleasant for the nefesh. The nefesh wants to use its power. It wants to expand. Because the truth is, even the body is an incarceration for it. Even that's too small for it, but at least until now it's been spreading out in material things. The truth is, that's really too small for the neshama too. But now you're going to tell them, you got to go all the way back to like pre-birth, you know, like before you've done it. That's very difficult. And you're pressuring it further. You're pulling it all back and saying, now you're not even going to be allowed to burst forth again, except according to the conditions that I've, young man, you've done the wrong thing out there. Now I'm only going to let you out if you do it this. The nefesh wants to run. It wants to go out. So at first it's difficult. He's describing something very deep about the neshama. The neshama seeks to expand itself. But we're going to have to stop in a bit. But what he's going to basically say, but this can be done. The bitter part of tshuva is pulling it all back. But he says, but it's not really that long a process. When you pull it all back and you say, okay, we're going to go out there. I'm going to do it right this time. Agreed. Let me hear you say it again. Agreed. But once it's ready to do that, he says, then it's a pretty natural process. Because now I'm starting over. And now it's not that hard. Especially because, as you said before, you would learn from the mistakes. Now the Hashem is going to go out there. He doesn't want to have to do that again. So, and he's going to, we'll see it next time. He says something very deep. This is really what the Mabul and the Teva were about. The world is corrupted. Pull everything back. And this is an idea in Kabbalah. And I'm not going to claim to really know what he's talking about. He says this in Kabbalah's farm. This is what happens when everyone goes into the Mabul. Are we ready to go out there yet? Send the dove. Oh, not yet. The water is still bad. Then when it's all good, now we'll start over. But the marble, the table was a painful process. But he says, at a deeper level, that's what the Torah means by that whole story of the marble. It's this process that each of us has to do when our kochos have been scattered all over earth but haven't been done right. You have to go back to the teva, be committed to Hashem, and it was a tremendous avoda in the teva. And then when the waters have subsided, we're ready to go back and start over. We'll see that next week in Mirtzah Hashem.
I got a headache.
Yeah.